Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Get Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Boy Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C-Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Busy Ball.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Reddy Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is the show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records revealing that each of the rappers are coming up, getting put on. We need a new platform to fight the mainstream. The show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow with Wizards.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering graphics, and shadow the time. Check out the archives and touch with the shows. Buddy, you're kind of computed, did do everything free to download this people. Yeah, we deserve the real review.
Unstoppable with
beats,
we brought up,
it's
we represent. All them killers on the mic, and we show love to all you fans.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's UGS for life, dog. Hip-hop AD, representing for them legends. Rapping mumble rappers, so me, sitting on the hip. Two pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's a murder master music show. Free the homie gangsta bro. I see these rappers on these streets, I got my chop about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Keep it like a rabbit, bitch, we coming hella strong. I see you feeding for the show.
Man, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Prez. This is Murder Master Music Show, episode 460. You know what I'm saying? We got a special guest. I'm going to bring up my co-host real quick. Got Mac J. What's up, Mac J?
What's up with it, Prez?
I'm amped up, man. We're staying in Cali, Pittsburgh, Pat. You got something to go for. I'm going to bring him on. He's what we got. Pittsburgh. What's up, brother?
Yo, what's going on?
Man, you got us a dope guest, man, to add to this archive, man. Man, why don't you tell the people who we got tonight?
Man, I got the homie from the West Coast, man, Spider Loke.
Spider Loke's in the building, man. Let's bring him on right now, man. Spider Loke, how you doing, brother?
I'm blessed, man. I'm cool. And what's good with y'all?
Man,
it's an honor to have you, brother.
It's a pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, man, I was amped up when I booked you, man. I was like, yeah, man, we got to have him on the show, man. We had so many cats from the West. It wouldn't be right if we didn't have you in the archive as well, man. Real tough.
I so appreciate it.
Yeah, it's slightly low, man. I don't even know where to start with you, man. So let's go ahead and start from the very beginning, man. What was your introduction to the hip-hop game, man?
The hip-hop game as far as professional, professionally fucking with rap, I would have to give credit to my G-homie Cam with a K, Watts, California. He did an album called Cam Leisure in the early 2000s, and he allowed me to put a verse on there. That's what I consider my introduction into this the actual industry.
Okay. The first time I heard you, I think, was on Corrupt's album, Against the Grain.
Oh, yeah, it was. I mean, from the beginning, you was a little late, but as far as where I've gone in the long run, that was quite a bag. You've been around for a minute.
Yeah.
What was that shit called on Against the Grain? Overtime or something.
Man, I know it, man. I got that album because that album, Tupac got a verse on that album, too. Man, I can't think of the part. But yeah,
he could quit putting with that cess weed he's smoking. I'm just fucking with him. He choking hard as a motherfucker, though.
Yeah, he is.
He must be here.
Yeah, man. You was on that Corrupt album. I think that shit was called, like, Bullshit and Nonsense. Was that the name of it?
Oh, yep. Yep, Bullshit and Nonsense. Yeah. So,
Yeah, so, man. And then when I finally, like, started to hear your music, and I didn't know once you signed with G-Unit that that was the same dude, because you was just going by Spider back then, wasn't you?
Oh, man, I'm glad somebody know that. Yeah, them niggas named me Spider Loke without me really realizing that shit just stuck somehow. I am Spider. I'm Baby Spider, actually. So I was just going by Spider. I often tell people, if you look at any credits I had prior to that, there is no Loke on it. So I really cannot confirm to you exactly when my name became Spider Loke. That was not a conscious choice that I made.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's how I knew you, man, because you was on another Death Row project before. Am I right? Dysfunctional Family soundtrack or something.
Yeah,
right?
I remember
exactly.
That Dysfunctional Family shit. That shit was banging.
Shouts out to the homegirl, Lisa Left Eye Lopez, rest in peace, a.k.a. Nina. I was blessed and honored to be able to work with her on that project and the homie Eddie Griffin. We collabed, and that was a cool experience for me, man.
Hell yeah, man. A lot of people don't know that part of Left Eye when she was Nina fucking with Death Row. And were you ever officially under contract with Death Row, or were you just, like, around those dudes?
No, I wasn't under no contract. Sure, gave me about a series of contracts to review, but none of them never had any monetary figures in them. When it came to the money, that shit was always Black Sugar was a cold thing.
Right.
Mm. He never gave you nothing that was qualified to be signed, nah.
Oh, okay. So what did that end well? Did you just end up going somewhere else? Is everything cool with you?
Yeah, it got to a point where I had realized moving around trying to make progress in my career, it was becoming more of a negative to be associated with Suge's label at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to approach him, man. The person who was running the website, he actually lived in LaGrange, Georgia. His name was John. And when I asked John to take my image off the Death Row website, he told me he couldn't do it without permission from the actual label. So I had to approach Suge and actually, get clearance for John to move my likeness off that website. And when I approached him, I didn't really know how he was going to take it, but, he was real reasonable about it. He understood where I was coming from. His hands was kind of tied at the time to do the type of things for me in my career or anyone that he would have liked to do. So he understood it. My likeness was removed from the website and had no idea that I was going to meet the G-Unit cats real shortly after that, man. It was just real ironic it took place like that.
Mm. Okay, and you got introduced to G-Unit how? Was it through Buck?
Yes, I was in Atlanta, Georgia, fucking around. I guess they call it trapping now. Trapping, and I ran across Young Buck because we knew some of the same people. And that's my introduction to the G-Unit situation in a nutshell.
Okay. Now, I always got the feeling that when you started fucking with G-Unit, that was kind of, like, in response to the game leaving G-Unit. Like, it just kind of felt like they was doing, like, a G-Unit West thing, and they're like, oh, Game's of Blood, let's go with this dude, a Crip. Like, was that, am I right feeling that way? Like, is that
I'm sure those elements had to play a part. There was some conversation about displeasure with Game at that time with 50, but
right.
if folks could think back long enough, it was a coexisting situation initially. It wasn't like a replacement.
Right.
I actually came along before Game even dropped the album on G-Unit, so I know how you can't help but get that perception because there's so many opposites to Crip the Blood. We both from the West Coast, and then we ended up beefing, so it seems that way, but I would like to clear the air. I often hear the misconception that 50 told me to get that Game and jump in. 50 advised me over and over again not to get involved in that shit. The actual dynamic was me and my homies was out here banging G-Unit, and he was banging G-Unit. And as much as I tried to take, he used to do a lot of diss songs where he would diss them, and then say something positive toward me. And he was making a real effort to leave me out of it. But when me and my niggas is getting G-Unit tattoos and we occupying the same county, it's kind of hard to just overlook all the gestures. Yeah, it was kind of hard. It was just an organic situation that just took place.
Right.
Fighting over and over again, not to get in it.
Right, especially when y'all from the town too. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You know, 50 them not from there. Y'all there, so like they can go home, they can go wherever, but y'all still got to be there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it, it be, sometimes it be deeper than what people be thinking. I always looked at it like, you know what I'm saying? I thought 50 was gonna push you because he didn't have nobody from the West Coast at the time, and I felt like he was like, shit, I at least gotta have somebody official with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody was looking forward to everything that could have been done with G-Unit
at that time. Sometimes you think you want the official, and then until you get something that's too official, you got to be careful what you wish for.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, I always fucked with you, man. And when I heard that Blutiful record, I was like, oh, man, this is going to blow up. Like, because it was a great song. It was catchy.
Yeah, she was tight.
The chorus was nice. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, okay, because I was sitting around waiting for you. You know what I mean? Because the way 50 usually did things was he put out one at a time. You do the little group album, put out his album, and he would push each artist individually, you know, one at a time. And I was sitting around waiting for you, man. And I heard that record. I'm like, man, that's going to blow up. So what are the politics of the situation, man? Like, why didn't your album come, man?
Well, you know, it's somewhat of a mystery to myself. I was told very, basically like in 06, that by Curtis himself, that my album was completed. 1699 is how he termed it, ready for the show. He had the same response to the Blutiful campaign as you just did. He called me and let me know that he was quite impressed. He had a whole marketing campaign that he had. Suggested that he was going to put behind the record. He never followed through. I don't exactly know why, but I do know this. If you look at the sum of the G-Unit records that experienced any success, he had direct participation in them all. If he wasn't performing on them, he claimed writers on it. He serviced them to radio. There was a budget behind the video. But Blutiful, he had zero input whatsoever. So it was a record that I created, I produced, I shot the video that he offered up to me. His opinion was it looked like we spent $250,000 on the video. So as to why it never manifests, I cannot. It's a mystery to me as well.
Oh, wow.
But I know without being boastful at all, just looking at the facts and the track record, I was the most productive artist he ever signed when you consider the fact that not only did I create and sustain the Blutiful campaign without any assistance from him or the label. I also landed roles on CBS, which is the biggest network television-wise in the world, alongside a direct cross from Michael B. Jordan himself, also on Numbers with Wood Harris. The lady's name leaves my mind, but the lead actor on Weeds, I exchanged lines with her. These are the type of things I was doing to build my likeness in order to support the label's effort and maximizing my experience. So I don't understand why I didn't get them to kick in the gear myself either.
Yeah,
oh, you well rounded. I'm about to say you was well rounded with it. We even see you on fucking Wheel of Fortune and shit. You do all
even,
of it.
Even Pat Sajak said I made it look too easy. He called me a baby face. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? And Pat Sajak is a man. If you feel me, I was trying, and guess what? I bought my daughter a car today. The reason why I was so fucking anxious and excited is because that car was for my daughter. And I just left the line today. That's ironic y'all brought that up. My bad.
Yeah. That's the best.
Hey, you smoked that round, though, man. I mean, that was a phenomenal round right there. You know?
Good looking,
man. I think you're the first rapper I've seen on Wheel of Fortune. The only rapper.
Thank you.
Who else ever been there?
Thank you.
That's like some hip-hop trivia, like when they make the hip-hop trivia game and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, you know what? We might need to create a hip-hop trivia game. That sounds like
a trick, bro. I've been thinking about that shit. You know what I'm saying? They got all these other games. Like, because, see, that's why we do these shows, man, because everybody's story is important in hip hop, you know what I'm saying? Whether they was whack or they was super dope, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like, you know, we came up from the era of where we can appreciate it because we had, we talk about it all the time, like we had many different facets of hip hop. It's like going to a mall. If you wanted to pimp shit, you can go over here and hit 8 Ball, or you can hit Too Short. And if you want to hit this gangster shit, you had Spice One and Ice-T and N.W.A. If you want to hit this backpack shit, you had Talib Kweli and all these cats over here. If you want to hit a positive, you had Public Enemy. So basically, it's like you had multi facets. You know what I'm saying? And these kids, they all doing the same thing because I'm convinced that they really don't know the history, and it's up to us to tell them the history. So, yeah, man, I think that's one of the main reasons, man, because they don't even know. They just so quick to follow. Yeah, they trend chasers. We call them the TCs, the trend chasers.
Right, and then, you know, I've also, I look at it from both sides, and because of my brand of hip-hop, that is what I would consider content-wise, lyrical, whether it's positive or not, I still like feel like there's some content to it. And then I like try to analyze the game. I think about it, you know, this shit got popping with niggas talking about a hip-hop, and they wasn't really saying shit, so... For a nigga to really look at the fact that niggas ain't saying much and start acting like he got a soreness about hip-hop is really not fair. Because the fact that we were so interested in what a nigga had to say was just a phase that hip-hop had went through. That wasn't his origin either.
Right.
That's just something we like. But that ain't how it started. Them niggas was wearing funny coats and jackets, just like it's getting back to. They was wearing zippers and spikes and tight pants.
Dressing like Prince and them shit. Yeah, I remember all that shit. Yep.
And then you
come to them niggas had tight leather coats and gloves and shit.
Yeah, big long feathers hanging out their ears and shit and cut off gloves. So we like where we took it as a generation, but hip-hop in itself, we can't hate on it for kind of reverting back to its original form. We just have to maintain the essence that we brought to it and that we appreciate. And I see some of the new guys bringing it back. And let's just appreciate it and celebrate it when we do get a chance.
Right. That's well said, man.
I don't even think any of our parents could really quote any of James Brown's lyrics either. Fuck is James Brown talking about?
He was hollering.
Yeah,
hollering like a motherfucker.
Yeah, he wasn't talking. That nigga was hollering.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, these niggas, they have made it easy with the content, though, man. Oh, that is crazy. I cannot believe that same format just keeps winning. I'm thinking, like, it's going to somehow start slowing down. It's like it's gaining momentum.
Yeah, it's gaining. See, that's what I'm talking about. And see, and if you got teenage kids or young 20s and your children around that age, you gonna hear it whether you want to hear it or not. It's the same way when we was pumping y'all shit or we was pumping Draymond shit. My folks really didn't want to hear that shit. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, Pac kind of made it easy when he made Dear Mama because then it started opening up for other cats to make more heartfelt songs too. And I don't see that type of dealings going with the new generation, but it's still cats out here making it. It's in the underground. You just got to dig a little deeper.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's still some young fire-ass cats. We hear good shit all the time. You know what I'm saying? It's just not on what we call a lame stream. It ain't on the lame stream level.
Right. The lame stream seem like they got a template that comes in a motherfucking beat machine now. You can just... It's called Hit Record. Mm-hmm. Just drop your vocals in here, and that shit is going to come out. Hit Record.
And then the whole image, too. They can go get the rapper kit. They can go get the tight. They can go get the tight pants.
Plug-in.
It's just like, here we're going to have you wear this, and then they're going to wear this. And then next season, they're going to flip it around, and they get fruitier and fruitier each year. Like you said, like back in the Prince days and the Rick James. I remember the gangster dudes in the hoods. In the early 80s, was dressing like Rick James when they went out.
That's just high fashion.
They wearing high heel boots and all that shit.
That
shit was crazy.
You're right. That's the Euro influence on fashion, bro. But you know that shit. I think masculinity, especially black masculinity, is under attack, my nigga. We can't ignore that as a fact either.
Yeah. You're right, man. We've had a lot of people on here to cover that, man. Like, there's a lot of people feeling that right now, man.
The most unapologetic, strong masculine image on television is Terry Crews, and you see his range of intimidation. He's harmless, and even somebody like Von Miller, who is one of the most intimidating black men on the face of the earth, look how they play him down in all his commercials. They make him so dainty, so
right.
They want to give
you
a whole other image.
He got the glasses on,
and
then he got the tight ass clothes on, so he don't look threatening.
Look how the NBA dudes be dressing, man. Look how the NBA dudes be dressing, man, on pregame and the postgame shit,
all
man. They always got them
all
dressing. A nigga with the attitude like Russell Westbrook, I cannot believe he wears the type of pants he wears, the way he act. I would think that nigga wear khakis and shit.
The way he play on the court does not look like how he look when he walking into the court.
Thank you.
He look
That's
like a cheerleader
point,
when he He a cheerleader, but
Thank
then he playing
you.
Like Mike now. You know what I'm saying? For real.
Thank
Cam Newton, he another one. It's a gang of them.
Thank
but that's how they programmed them to. That's how they programmed them to do it. You know, we was
right.
If they say we was programmed, they put an end to that shit, because when Iverson them came through, they was wearing the throwbacks and they was getting mad because
like
he wearing a throwback and it wasn't the team that he played for. And you know, they start nitpicking on every little thing. Like, if you gonna wear a throwback, it's got to be the team you play for and doing all that shit. Y'all got too much jewelry on. They flossing. They ain't like that shit.
Didn't they make
them
niggas wear suits at one point?
Yeah, there's a dress code.
Yeah.
I think they still got it.
They didn't let up a little bit. Now you can wear suits and skirts. You know what I'm saying? Because these dudes will come out there with capri pants and all that shit.
Okay. What's your take on the fact that the white boys ain't with all the eccentric shit? The rich white boys come to the game with some jeans and the Wrangler on. They don't give a fuck. White niggas got to be so fucking sexy. I don't get it.
Right. I don't either, man. Because, like, if you get the consensus of cats on the street and everybody in the hood and everybody that's really on the streets, the regular workers, we can give a damn what a motherfucker think about us for real. Because if I can't pay my motherfucking bills, shit, ain't none of these motherfuckers gonna help me pay shit by the way I look. At least not right now. When you out here in the field for real.
I'll be wondering.
It's easier for them athletes than them movie stars to do it.
I wonder, is this just me? Y'all tell me this. Am I the only one that is disgusted by the fact that niggas are so comfortable sagging with these tight ass drawers showing the shape of their ass everywhere?
Oh, man, that's the most grossest shit ever.
What the fuck is this, man? Like, niggas don't give a fuck about their ass being out.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
We used to wear
it's
the long
ridiculous.
T-shirts and the baggy boxers. Now they wear the smallest shirt and the smallest tight drawers like panties. My thing is, if we like to see bitches in these stretch pants, why don't you think the faggot is like it? Oops, is y'all going to bleep that out or am I in trouble for saying
that?
No,
you good.
No,
y'all
good.
You won't.
Is the Illuminati listening to us,
girl? They probably
you can't
have.
Say that
either, Our name
Fuck
is
it.
The Murder Master Music Show, so they already know what it
okay.
is, you know?
Fuck it. That's what it is. I'm just saying, like, I just don't understand. We're living in a weird time. I be having passengers in my car, and I hate to see a nigga get out of my seat and show all his old ass on my. I'll be thinking my car seat smell like ass. I hate that shit, man.
Right, exactly. Pull your shit up, man. Exactly.
Yeah, pull your shit up with some tight ass girls.
I don't go into stores and shit. And I got my stepdaughters with me and shit. I'm like, I tell them motherfucker, like, hey, man, you got to hike them up, man. It's little girls behind you, bro.
That's
you know what
right.
I'm saying?
That's right.
And the consensus, most of them, they all respectful, though. You know what I'm saying? They turn around
right.
and look who's saying it, and they be like, all right, man, you know, you got to understand this. You got kids, man. Pull your shit up, man. This ain't
right.
the place for that shit. If y'all want to do that, back in the day, it's always been fruit pies. It's always been cupcake dudes. But they kept that
right.
shit to their shit. They had their own spots. They had their own little. So you knew what you was getting into if you went to their shit. But nowadays,
but these
it's so
the,
blatant.
These is the rough niggas. These is the rough niggas. Like, I come from a gangbang culture where we used to sag our pants. But we used to wear baggy boxers and long T-shirts. So even if you was able
I'm about to say so.
Be,
they not never going to see your drawers even when you were sagging. Because your shirt was
they might
long
not,
enough.
Yeah, and if they do see my drawers, they going to see my drawers. You not finna see the curve and the shape of my ass and the crease of my ass. These niggas is wearing, like, shirts that stop at their belly button, and then they sagging with these tight drawers on, my nigga.
Man, it's disgusting.
I can't take it, man.
These niggas be wearing. You go to their shows, they wearing negligees and shit like that on top of.
There you go.
Some skinny jeans and shit. You see what I'm saying?
They're wearing 16
chokers on.
Yeah, you heard me.
You're right.
That nigga want to get choked. Any nigga with that many chokers on want to be choked, my nigga.
It's called eugenics.
That's
man.
Fucked up.
What they got a name for? What's it called?
Like you said, man, genetic manipulation.
Eugenics.
They want to create a whole generation of motherfuckers that can't breathe. You know what I'm saying? Walk around an earthworm gym and shit like an hermaphrodite. And kids are all fucked up. They don't know which way to go. You know what I'm saying?
No.
It's crazy. They're attacking the youth, man. It's really fucked up. Hey, Spider, we got a call for you, brother. This is the homie Terrence, man. Terrence, how you doing?
I'm all right. How y'all doing?
Yeah, real good,
bro. What's going on with it, Terrence?
Nothing much. I'm a big fan of this show. I'm a fan of Spider Love, too. I'm glad y'all going to take the time to take my call. What up, Spider?
Where you calling from, Terrence? What it do, my nigga?
I'm calling from Georgia, really. I'm one of your followers on Instagram, so when you posted that you was going to have an interview, I had to call. I'm that one.
What's your name on there?
100 Savage. I'm the one that said, man, I can't wait that damn long because you posted the picture on
Tuesday.
I remember that.
You part of my family, my nigga. I appreciate you.
Yeah, no problem, man. Like, you know what's crazy, though? Because when you signed to G-Unit, I was like, well, who this? And I knew you were new. And I thought, and then I found out you was from the West Coast. So I'm like, oh, okay, he's from where Game is. And I was a big fan of Game. So then when he separated and y'all was going back and forth, I couldn't really pick a side. I was a fan of both, really. You know, you have fans choosing sides, and to this day they still choosing sides, even after the beef is over, you know?
Right.
I appreciate that. You just hearing that, man. I'm listening.
Yeah, man. Like, my question to you was, you know, the first song I heard of you was "I Don't Want No Problems" with Young Buck, and I don't know who you was dissing on there. I'm assuming it was Game, though. But are you cool with Game? And like, did y'all ever run into him throughout the beef?
I never ran into Game throughout the beef. But you got to realize me and Game had a relationship that preceded me meeting Young Buck, 50 Cent, and all of them. We had a lot of mutual acquaintance. He and I were even what I might consider friends. So if you can remember when we first started the beef, and he used to go out his way to try to leave me out of the controversy. So I say that to say we communicated through third parties and even directly quite a few times throughout all that time. I remember being overseas. And Game calling my phone and asking me to mediate on his behalf with 50 Cent. And Young Buck was sitting there and witnessing the phone call. So we never bumped into each other, had any problems. Are we cool today? I'm cool with everything that's involved in this universe that's not trying to harm me. Have I had any specific conversations or reached out to him in particular or spoken with him to make amends? No. But I don't assume he's sitting around with no ill feelings toward me, looking to do me no harm and me either toward him.
Right. And see, I was aware that y'all had a relationship beforehand because I saw a picture of you and him. This had to be like back in 04. Y'all was probably in his yard. Y'all shook hands. It was a picture of y'all. Y'all was shaking hands. And I was like, damn, they was cool back then. So, you know,
I believe we was on Brazil on the picture you probably be talking about. We actually met at the, it's pretty documented in my memory because it was at the Aaliyah segment of the I Miss You video shoot for Aaliyah, that DMX segment. We met at that video shoot, so the date is like almost as known. Our relationship is pretty documented because of the event that we met at. So we met battling, actually, true to our craft, two warriors going at it, and you see our relationship turned out to be an actual battle in our whole, you know, in front of the world. So we really lived up to the essence of what it was all about.
Y'all from Compton.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I remember you saying
on a song you won the battle. You know, a lot of your songs towards Game was funny, though. I ain't going to lie. Even though I was a fan of his, when you went at him, I was like, wow, he got lines with his guy.
That was a great
I appreciate that because of the fact that y'all real MCs too.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
you know, but you know, it's kind of hard to find. You know, and I'm not. It was not much to be said about myself. If you just, it ain't much you can say about me, my nigga. Period. Nigga called me Oscar the Grouch. He laughed at my voice, and I think he changed my name, which is Norvell, to Marvel. I mean, what else can you say about the look, my nigga? It ain't much to say, my nigga. I'm the truth. I leave a nigga with very little room when it's time to battle me, unless you're going to be just saying some fake shit.
Yeah, and I mean, I had the impression that it was all business. It probably wasn't personal. I mean, was it personal or was it business to you?
All right, it was personal, man. It wasn't even business. I wish I was wise enough to make business decisions back then, but my life had got so out of hand. I was living my dream. It was very personal and passionate, man.
Yeah, I know. You was loyal to 50, man. I could respect that. I mean, you know,
That's all I know is how to stay down, my nigga. That's when I choose to stay, I stay down. That's what I signed up for when I started breaking the rules that my mama was putting in front of me. I'm down for something. Mm-hmm. That's why I was from where I'm from. I always been down. So when I get down, I stay down. That's why I was the last one down over there on that ship, my nigga.
Yeah, everybody else, like Olivia and all them, they came and went. And then, you know, when you released the West Kept Secret project, I was loving that. You know, ironically, they put that out. You put that out when Kanye and 50 had that battle with their albums. The same day. Yeah, I remember that, Steve. But, like,
reminiscing. I forgot all about that. That was the same time when 50 and Kanye had the Who Sell the Most when they first came out. I remember that shit.
Y'all remember who actually sold the most?
Kanye. That was the downfall of 50, as everybody would say.
That's because Kanye threw that T-Pain on that shit.
Because I just went upstate when that shit was going down. I just went upstate, and I remember that they was on BET having, like, a little face-off and shit.
Yeah, and they were on PRL and all that shit.
50 was clowning him because he performed that Big Brother joint. He performed that Big Brother. Kanye did that Big Brother joint for Hov, and 50 was clowning him like, yo, I didn't bring my Big Brother and shit like that. And 50 was funnier and, like, seemed like he won, like, the on-air battle, but Kanye sold more records, though.
Yeah, because Kanye appealed to more people at the time because of the type of shit he was doing. 50 still was doing what he was doing, but, you know, shit, that was smart business on both of them. Hey, but one thing I want to ask you about, let's bring it back to this a little bit, Spider. I remember when y'all used to have the SpiderLoke.com and shit, though. That was before a lot of rap niggas had websites and all of that shit. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm stupid when it comes to computers and social media. I think you was like an innovator early in them days because people had MySpace and shit. You know what I'm saying? Everybody had a MySpace page and shit. But I remember you was like one of the first cats you can actually get on their website and see some of their shit.
I gotta give for that being true, I gotta give Suge some credit and thanks because the same guy I was speaking to about John that was running the Death Row website, once I asked him to remove me off of that site, he in turn created SpiderLoke.com for me on Suge Knight's server. It was a secret for a long time. We was on the same server. He made me swear to not let nobody know. So I had the same professional. You just imagine Death Row, they was one of the first, you know, they was a label. Nobody else was tripping on the internet. So I had the same professional that they trusted to do their website doing my own. And then one of my very good friends and colleagues in the game, he was also a computer expert back in the day. So once we teamed up and started making our moves, I saw a lot of this industry change over to this computer shit way before a lot of, when I met 50, in fact, he used to be amazed by the fact that I was on the computer communicating with my fans. He used to call everybody at the location to come look over my shoulder to just notice, to observe the fact that I was talking to fans. That's just crazy to see the way things played out.
Yeah, that's crazy, man, because you said what, Fred?
I said later on he came out with This Is 50. You know, maybe he got some of that from you.
Oh, man, I don't want to be the one that say it, because every time I say something, I'm labeled a hater. Everybody says that the past goes, move in the future. So it does me well to know that, you know, I don't have to toot my own horn to tell my own story. Y'all know what happened. Y'all know what it is. You feel me?
Right.
Oh, yeah, plus the hater shit is overused, man. You know what I mean? It's like we've been hearing about that since the early 90s. Now all you got to do is disagree with anybody about anything. Hey, you're a hater.
When you're telling your story,
you really a hater.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's how they really be.
Yeah, my thing is, I'm usually responding to questions that are direct, but you know, I have a lot of awesome things to say about my experience at G Unit and the people that I spent the time with, but the questions are not usually in such a general sense where I get a chance to share those experiences.
Right
now in this time, people want to know why it went wrong, and usually when you talk about why it went wrong, you got to talk about the things that disappointed you in the relationship. So even people that get divorced, actually in marriage, they have to go over the whole experience, and they talk about, you know, when they were first in love, they'll have some good memories too, but shit get bad, you know what I'm saying? Shit, get back. I started seeing a lot of things I didn't understand, my nigga. So,
Spider, I want to give you props, man, because I watched your interview with Doggy Diamonds.
Shout out to Doggy Diamonds. Shout out to
subscribe to Doggy Diamonds TV on YouTube. Shout out to Doggy Diamonds. Yeah, I watched your interview, man, and I thought it was a great interview, man, because you weren't malicious towards 50 or Buck. When he even asked you if you was mad at anybody, you're like, man, my animosity, I don't even have that. I'm just kind of disappointed on the way things turned out. And you did say that you have a lot of positive memories there. So what? Give me some of your memorable moments, positive-wise, from G-Unit, man. Like, what when you think of your time with G-Unit, man, what comes to mind when you think of the good times?
Oh, man, being on a private jet and overseas somewhere, sleeping, 50 come plopping down next to me, elbowing me, waking me up, showing me a magazine about somebody who was way richer than him and trying to explain to me that we ain't got no time to sleep. And that's when he told me that in order not to need no more money, you need at least $250 million. So that's probably over a decade ago. That number's probably quite a bit higher. But you know, I'm my mother's only son. I'm born and raised in the city of Compton, California. Very humble beginnings. I've had very big and awesome dreams all my life. Just being at that level of game and realize that I have been fortunate enough and able to will myself this close to my dreams is just the overall experience. I don't even know if I realized it as it was going on. You know, now I look back on it and just realizing the journey that I am continuing to be on that started so long ago. What a lot of people don't know is I was Brandy, Ray J's sister. I was her first crush. You know, the industry and greatness, the greatness,
he was one of my first crushes.
And I was hers, man. I should have been living in Cali. I'm looking for Brandy. As a matter of fact, if any of y'all bump into her, tell her
Looking for Brandy since motherfucking when we first seen her on TV, my nigga.
I really believe if Brandy I think if she participated on writing the record, I Want to Be Down at All. I believe I was an inspiration in that song. If I wasn't the inspiration for the lyrics, I was the inspiration for some of them runs she hit. I say, listen to what kind of confidence I say that with y'all.
I know,
and I haven't seen her since childhood.
Was you running into Kobe? Because Kobe took her to the prom that year. Remember that?
I ain't ran into Kobe, but I ran into Ray J. We was over there at Death Row together, and that nigga would never call her for me.
Man, of course not. Why would he? As he should.
That's a real big brother. I'm a real little brother.
Yeah, man. Yeah, he was being a brother, man. Why should
That's
he?
Right.
He gonna keep
That's
you
right.
in the pocket. You know what I'm saying? You
That's
fuck
right.
with me, don't fuck with my sister. That's how he's supposed to
That's
do it.
Right. That's That's right.
But, man, I've been looking for Brandy for a long time, and we live in the Midwest. I'm in St. Louis right now, but back then, I was in the Chicago area then in Memphis, so I remember all that shit because we all around the same age. See, now you smoking that shit. Now you smoking that shit. I was smoking earlier. Now it's your turn. Your turn.
My turn. Yes, sir.
You just take that man-sized pool and it gets you.
Yes, sir.
we got a call for you. Just told me Sin from France. Sin, what's up, man? You calling just before we go into a little break here and play some song, man. What you got for the homie Spider Love? How you doing, Sin?
Yeah, hi, sir. Hi, Mike. I'm glad. Hi, Spider Lock. Yes.
What did you tell us?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Tell us about your song, Beautiful World, and how you had the idea of the video and the making, all that.
Well, Beautiful World. Dope track.
Yeah,
we're going to play that here in a minute, actually.
All right. That's what's up. Yeah. Beautiful World was just a... The homie Crooked Eye, shouts out to Crooked Eye Slaughterhouse. We was on Death Row together, and just one day Crooked Eye just came to me. Him being a non-affiliated gang wise, he walked up to me and said, "I got a word for you. I really can't use it." And he was just like, "Beautiful." And I just like stored it in my brain for some years. It just been in the back of my head, and then one day actually, I think I was in the airport looking at a bunch of blue seats, and I just started writing down a few blue shits, and then that started growing. Then one day I was at the studio, and that actual beat, I was about to do some work, and the producer, E-Rock from The Riff, shout out E-Rock, he started going through some beats. He played that one particular beat, and it made me think about those blue lyrics that I had on my phone, and that beat just automatically to me said Beautiful World. So I called E-Note in. E-Note hummed around and came up with the words for the hook, and the record kind of took a life of its own from there. The video, I'm just a visual guy. When I do a record and I think about doing a video, I always just tend to want to show what I'm saying. So I couldn't imagine that record being no other way than just being all blue.
Hmm.
That's an anthem out here. I'm in Pittsburgh, and that record still gets played out here. That's an anthem out here.
The young Crip dude was saying beautiful now. They think they created it, but I'm like, man, they've been saying this.
You got to be kidding.
Yeah, some of them think they created it. That's what all these young dudes do.
You see what Crayola just did, though? Did you see what Crayola just did? Crayola just had a big old campaign where they renamed one of their new crayons Beautiful.
Man, you should pray, bro.
You
gotta Google that, bro. That's what I'm saying, man.
E40 suing a comic book for Captain Save-A-Ho or something.
Yep, I seen that shit too.
You need to sue Crayola.
I'm at it. Right before Crayola did that, I can't pronounce the name of the wine company, but it starts with a B. They did a whole big ass campaign off of blue wine called Beautiful too. Just like 3 months before Crayola lost their shit. Dead home. That's all I know is this, man. The universe, and the creator fucks with the low. A phrase my mama has always repeated to me throughout my life, through my ups and downs, was the best is yet to come. And I just want y'all to know that, my nigga. This story ain't over right here.
Hell yeah, man. We definitely want to, bring you back out anytime, man, you're welcome on this show, brother. You know what I'm saying? But let's go to a quick break and come back and chop it up with you.
I got a good question for you, Loke, so we're going to come back, man.
Say no more.
We'll be right back.
When we come back, all right.
It's a beautiful day in my neighborhood. A beautiful day in my neighborhood.
Standing in the blue booth, got that blue light blinking on the Bluetooth. Blue water, great big blue sky, blue royal, all kind of blue fly. Blue boxer sagging in my blue jeans, blue chucks on, fat lace, blue strings. Got a jacket that's made out of blue fox, blue locks on the back of my blue rocks. Snoopy blue in the cut with the blue steel. We drink blue bees and pop blue pills. Shoot it out over dope like in Blue Hill. Blue Benz on four big blue wheels. Good rats, blue braids, blue nails. We good cat and ass like a blue whale. Spray paint got the hood full of blue walls. Bleed blue blood and got blue balls. Powder blue knockoffs on my blue D's. Got a beautiful glow from that blue ice. Crack the crap game nice with them blue dice. Like the blunt with the torch and the flame blue. I'm in the fast lane getting my brains blue. Blue kicks look good with the blue fit. I keep a blue choke chain on my blue pit. Stuff a dub worth a buzz in a blue bag. Jumping out the blue jag with a blue rag. Blue belts, blue hats, blue coats. Don't sing, but I do hum blue notes. Hides a kite all night off a blue dolphin. When I go, lay me in a blue coffin.
It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful world. I'm in a beautiful car.
From the shirt to the shoot to the strings, rims to the car, earrings to the chain, yeah, I bang. Cause you can't tell by the color, Snoopy blue in the blue meat, middle of the summer chillin'. My birthstone blue, ain't that a trip? A coincidence? Nah, I was born a crip. It's a blue fact, the house blue, trim blue. And every time you see Snoopy, he in something blue. From dark blue to sky blue, royal blue is mine. Sippin' blue way, easy like the blue line. Off a blue Puma, never mind the blue rumors. Bumpin' Bobby Blue, blowing on some blue pursuing. This blue money, cause them blue dice stay skipping. Like blue rags get shown when niggas set tripping. I'm in blue more than your whole hood, nigga. Why you think they call me Mr. Snoopy Blue, nigga?
It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful world. I'm in a beautiful car.
That's what I'm talking about right there. That's the one and only Spider Loke right there, Beautiful World. We're back in the Murder Master Music Show, episode 460. Spider Loke did a hell of a show. I know, Pat, you had a question you wanted to ask Spider.
Yeah, real quick, though, I just want to give a shout-out to Pooh Man. He had a little medical scare. I don't want to put his business out there or anything. I just hope he gets well soon. Salute to Pooh Man, man. I hope he's all right.
Yeah,
but
man.
Spider Loke, though, man, back to referring to the Doggy Diamonds interview, you said something that I thought was made a lot of sense, and I want you to go more into it. You were talking about the gang culture in hip-hop and how in California the gang culture and hip-hop always coexisted with each other. You know what I mean? And now there's a lot of outsiders coming into it. Where it's, like, fashionable to be that. Now, like, what are your thoughts on all that? Like, a lot of these guys have no idea what they're getting into. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, it's so many different angles you can analyze that situation from to give you my thoughts on all that right now. It's impossible. It's more like a college course. But, you know, I feel different. You know, each situation is different, but I know overall it's not something that I have a feeling like. I don't have any ill feelings toward it. I mean, everything we see is a culture. It metamorphosizes, it expands, and it adapts. People grab on. I remember one time when the phrase, feeling some type of way, was a New York phrase, East Coast phrase only. People say this shit around L.A., they have no idea where that shit came from. I remember I think that was some of the corniest shit. Were you feeling some type of way? Now everybody say that shit. So, I mean, what it did do in hip-hop is it almost eliminated the lane of the West Coast. Because I remember it was a certain time when people could look at you and just, or hear a certain, and they knew what origin you came from out here. But now, it's like we have no identity. There's no such thing as a West Coast sound or a West Coast look. Everybody has a universal look. And like you say, this new sound is universal. These my little homies from Watts, they do records that sound like these niggas from Atlanta when their records come out. Everybody got that little, putting that little oo-wop on their voice, and they not really rapping. They humming, chanting, singing. It's like, oh, shit. So with the gangbang shit, I'm not the first gangbanger. I'm pretty sure I didn't gangbang exactly like the niggas who started it. So I ain't finna get mad at whatever that shit turns into after me. It's not no sacred-ass order. You know, this shit was fucked up, man. I seen homies killing homies, and I seen niggas mark out and still come back to the hood. This shit ain't never been nothing pure in my time frame, so whatever. Hopefully the niggas that get it after us do something better than we did with it. When I went to New York recently, and I mobbed up on a bunch of Crips, these niggas was throwing up signs and cousin and all that. But when they walked me inside their establishments, they had companies. And they was talking about not giving the little homies sacks and guns, but giving them a trade and a craft or a company.
Right.
And so they were more representing the original essence of Crippin' than what I've ever experienced out here. So it kind of like took some of the guilt off of me for even still being associated with such a demonized concept and being a father. I was really been perplexed and, you know, trying to figure out how can I represent both. And the only way I can do it is by tapping into the original essence of what Crip was. And it was a positive thing to begin with.
Yeah, community resistance and progress.
There you go. I think it's this manhood that says you fuck with mine, I'm going to fuck with you. It's the Second Amendment right to bear arms for Americans. So to be able to lay a nigga in the grave is not a weird concept that only gangbangers know about. But now to make a lifestyle out of it and make it a gang, you know, we were distorted, man. And I don't want to no longer promote that. I know it's time to love each other. But, you know, even in the Bible, you know, it's a time and place for everything. So I'm just trying to be positive, man. That's all. I can't stop. Yeah, I can't help. Crip. If they gonna let Snoop Dogg be a Crip with Martha Stewart, then I guess it's okay to be a Crip.
You know, in 2013, man, when Chicago had more killings than all of warring Afghanistan, right? And we had OG China Joe on, man, to try to mediate a ceasefire because it got to, like you said, man, it's getting to the point where, I mean, it's a total fucking genocide. You know what I'm saying? And people need to flick up right now and come together rather than, you know what I'm saying, kill each other over shit that was created 50 years ago that had nothing to do with you. You know what I mean? People are circumstances of their environment, man. You know, so, of course, if you're walking home from school, you're getting jumped by a bunch of 2-6 every day, and then on the third or fourth day, if you're getting your ass kicked, Latin Kings come up and they save you, who are you going to roll with? You know what I mean?
Damn
what
right.
choice do you have?
Damn
so,
right.
You know, a lot of these kids, man, they don't have choices, man. They just, it's a fucked up situation. It's nothing to be proud of. I agree with you, man.
Yeah, but when activity gets as senseless as just going to go harm the people around the corner just because they're around the corner, then you know you're involved in some shit that needs to stop, man. And that's what it's come down to. We got people that's 15, 16, 19, 20, whatever age they are, hating some people across the street and around the corner and don't realize that these group of people's don't like each other because some niggas in the 70s liked the same girl, and one of them got knocked out at a party. And now this is why we shooting at each other. Well, that's the part. And as much as I enjoy spending this hour with you on the phone, I got to go, my niggas.
All
Hey, thank you so much, man, and you're welcome on the show anytime, brother. Real talk, man.
Hey, I appreciate it.
Brother,
I really
real
want
quick,
to
when
this,
you,
man.
When you drop
in a lot of interviews, if it don't come like in a Christmas stocking, it will be in January. Lost Tapes coming soon. At All Costs coming very soon after that. I got a lot of other unannounced things that I'm trying not to jinx. Also, cooking up for y'all, man. SPI is back. It ain't no bullshit. It ain't no I'm back and I'm a fade away. I'm here to stay. You guys will get a chance to get a more of a complete, in-depth idea of who I am as an artist, individual, actor, or author, and all that.
Well, when you're dropping it, come back.
We'll do. I see y'all kind of active on my page, so everything, you know, will be announced there. So when you see the timing line up, just get back at me and we'll reschedule it. I always can tell when I'm amongst friendly interviewers. I've done a lot of interviewers, and it's kind of hard to sense the angle or the spirit of the nigga that's questioning you sometimes. Sometimes you can tell it's funky, but I can tell it's love right here. I appreciate y'all.
Hey, man, I'm just
y'all.
A fan,
thank
man.
You,
I'm just a fan,
man.
I appreciate that. And because I'm a
touch,
fan
man.
Of this culture, likewise.
Yeah, that's
hell
what I'm
yeah,
talking
man.
About. Man, hell of a fucking interview, man. I just sat back and soaked up, man. I let you guys chop it up with him because this guy had a lot of good positive energy. And I want to speak on episode 359, or I'm sorry, 459. We've done so many of these, I can't even remember what hundreds we were in. But, man, we had DJ Daryl on the show last week. First, I want to say this, phenomenal interview. I thought it was one of our best, to be honest. Just like tonight was a phenomenal interview as well.
Yeah.
We had Daryl on the show, and, man, he said some pretty crazy things, man, some real controversial, shocking things, you know what I'm saying, that involves celebrities
right.
like Madonna, Quincy Jones. And, so, of course, I clip some stuff, man. That's what we have the YouTube page for. We clip things. That way people can get hyped up and go to the site and check out the whole interview, right? When they hear the little clip, like, man, I got to hear more. Let's go to the website and hear more.
Right, exactly.
Standard procedure. So I clipped a few things. Apparently, dude didn't like it. Dude did not like the clip. Instead of reaching out to me and say, hey, man, we need to take this clip down, or could you reword this? Even though they were his own words, the title was derived from his own exact words, I would have accommodated
exactly.
whatever request he wanted. All you had to do was email me. But instead, what happened was, old Prez looking at his YouTube, and I see I had a copyright strike. And I thought, oh, gee,
exactly.
what the fuck is this, right? So I go look at it, and come to find out, it was from him himself. You know what I'm saying? I went to question him, and, you know, it's been a lot of BS. I'll put it to you this way, folks. Everybody that's following our YouTube page, the reason why those Daryl clips got taken down, initially, we don't want us to use his image in the ad anymore. Now, this is after he had already given us the image to use in the ad, after he already called into the show. He just got mad that there were some videos up there that he didn't like. I guess his own words put him in a bad light because they were his own words. And he got mad, and he went and dropped a dime to YouTube. You know, so that's we have a dime, folks. This is the first. We have a diamond-selling producer who went and ratted us out to a social media platform. That's just phenomenal. But shout out to DJ Daryl. That still was a great show. The only way you can hear it in its entirety is at the website, ugsforlife.com. So if you want to hear it, go check it out. I recommend it, even though he kind of pulled some foul shit afterwards. But, hey, it is
yeah.
what it is, man.
Right.
It's
still a
you never
dope
know
interview,
what
though.
Intentions are.
Man, it was a great yeah. interview. And the things
and
that
you
he
still
said,
in the archive,
they weren't provoked.
So it is what it is, man. Fuck them.
Yeah, and, like, all them things that he had a problem with being clipped out, like, none of us promote that. Like, what, like, we didn't think anything about Quincy or nothing. Like, we didn't ask him about that shit. He brought it up, man. If he regretted
yeah.
it.
Yeah, Pat, you ain't even got to explain stuff. That. You ain't even explain that shit to these motherfuckers. We don't know why he did it, but all we do know
yeah.
is he did the shit.
Yeah, we don't
pulled
know
the
truly.
Shit down. That ain't nothing.
Yeah. We don't know truly what his motives were, but it happened, and, you know, the show must go on. You know what I'm saying? But I want to let our
exactly.
people know the reason why, you know what I'm saying, those YouTube videos were taken off. Also, the reason why his image was taken off the show ad. Now it just simply says his name instead of his picture. So that was odd, but that's a first, man. That's a first, man. We've had a lot of dope moments on the show, and sometimes we didn't have dope moments, and that was one of them, but hey, fuck it.
Yeah,
the show, like you said, was still a great interview. You know what I'm saying? What's that, Mac? I missed that, brother.
No, you said, fuck it. I just started laughing. Throw them Grady's up on these motherfuckers.
Throw them Grady's up.
Yeah, he ain't gonna stop us, Grady's, man. Yeah, he ain't gonna stop us.
Chris, if you really look at it, like remember that one time we was the only thing that this remind me of was back in the KFYB days when Fuckboy was making them images and shit. And then remember Getty Images sent us that bullshit talking about suing and all of that shit, and we had to take all shit down, and you know what I'm saying. So okay, but that was Getty Images. That's a company. They hired to make sure that motherfuckers protect the images that's already out there. That's fine.
Getty didn't give us the image to use this guy directly. So what happened was his publisher sent me a press release. Now, I didn't even seek them out. The press release was sent to me. So I responded to it. And when we set up the interview that they agreed to, I asked for images. They sent the publicist images. I've seen it. And it was forwarded to me. I picked one of the images, used it, sent the ad back to them, never had a disapproval.
Yep.
They called in, Daryl called in the show, had a phenomenal interview, and
you're a real journalist and producer and all kinds of shit. Like, it's a whole lot of titles to the shit that you just did just for this one interview that somebody somewhere getting paid just to only do that. You done did 15 different things. Try to accommodate a motherfucker. But don't be throwing no fucking strikes at us because baseball season is over.
Yeah, I mean,
because
on,
we didn't copyright shit. Especially if
I
they
told
said
them,
clickbait.
We're small fucking outlets.
Clickbait? Clickbaiting mean that you put something in the description and then when people look at it, it's not the same shit. No, hell no. Nah. We put up what the fuck you said because you come on a live show. The same way with Spider Loke. I'm pretty sure Prez going to be up typing. His eyes going to be rolling in his head like old boy on that being them Adam Sandler movies with them crazy eyes and shit.
Oh, man, you have no idea, brother. One eye is going to go down south, one eye is going to go up north.
I already fucking know it. So they need to give you your props on that shit, and they don't need to give you no strikes because you do too much work and you put in too much hard work.
Hey.
To not go through that. Remember, you stopped playing music. You stopped playing music in the back of the interviews a long fucking time ago because of that. You know what I'm saying? They can't never come because if you go back and listen to early episodes, you will hear them on the if you go to Blog Talk, but you won't hear that shit on the fucking YouTube page because you've been cautious of that before a lot of people was.
Yeah,
so copyright my motherfucking ass.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, the only reason he did the photo thing is because that was all he could get it for, you know what I'm saying? There was another way he could have got that taken down, though. It was the simplest way. Call me. Just call me, express your concerns, and it's done. Out of respect for who he is as an artist, it would have been done, you know?
Right, the same way they sent you the pictures, Fred, they could have... replied to that same email chain and told you, hey, bro, take that down because this is why we... They don't even got to tell you why they want it down. Just tell you to take it down. All right, bet. We got it. It ain't shit. But don't be sending... That's some snitch shit, man. You're going to go run to YouTube and tell them...
A grown man.
Yeah,
you
man,
know,
that's some bitch shit, man.
Yeah,
the more
you
I think about it, man, I'm starting to get pissed.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect that from somebody, but you know it happens. I expect something like that from. Well, it's the same thing as these Facebook snitches, where they turn you in for such a post that you made 5 years ago.
Yeah,
they'll go.
We ain't even got blocked on Facebook
find
in a
the
long
word
time,
faggot, and
I've been
kind
of proud of that shit. It's been
a
while since
I
even been blocked off social media. But at one point they were blocking us every time, or at least threatening to block us. A lot of times I got threatened, like, if you don't take it down, basically, if you don't take it down, they're going to ban you for the shit. Or you can get tested. So if they tell me it's flagged, I just say, take it down. It ain't shit. Somebody was butthurt off of that. I could really make you butthurt then.
I mean, to be honest, you know, too, when they go into YouTube, I mean, there's a community on there, on our YouTube page. There's people on there that
yep.
check that shit on the regular, that come to it, you know what I'm saying? And I just
know right.
obligated to tell them what the fuck
hey,
happened.
Hey, the same
so
way, you, I'm about to say, probably yep. the same way YouTube doing the same thing. They got this new thing called the YouTube algorithm. It filters all of that shit, you know what I'm saying? They demonetizing videos left and right, left and right. They making people take shit down. Like some of the videos people was making money, because how many times we've been copyrighted? How many times we went on somebody else's page and heard our show, but they got like 400,000 video views and we might have 40,000.
Yeah, I never.
But
once
it's our same
it.
Shit.
Never once. I asked them to take it down. I asked them, you know, I'll comment, I'll get right on the page and say, take this fucking shit down, cocksucker. But I never once hit that flag button.
Yeah.
You know,
we
I'll
didn't
never
spam the gang of motherfuckers' pages like. Take this shit down. This shit was heard right here.
Breakfast
and next thing you know, video deleted. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? The Moe's is one of them. But or there's this one guy, his name is Derek Rose. With such an original YouTube name. He's the one that has, I think, he posted the Jerry Heller. Like before I was even putting YouTube videos up there. So,
right, he was posting it while we was live, probably.
I even fucking went at him. I'm not one of them dudes. You know, I'm a 40-year-old man almost. What business do I have tattletaling on people? You know, that's what you do in third grade. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah, we ain't no bitches over here. Ain't no business over here.
Dope show. We got another dope show. Pat's been, Pat got online. He was offline for a minute. This fucker gets his access to the internet. And
Pat's
he's just booking shows left and right. He's the booker. He's the goddamn booker. He's no more Pittsburgh Pat.
Right.
It's the Booker Brandon. Brandon Booker.
Yo.
Booker T. Brandon.
Oh, man. So every two that I get, there's like 80 that I didn't get. I've just been hitting hard trying to get everybody, you know, just trying to do a bunch. Like, there's actually a couple that I got to chill on for a second, man, just because they're like crossing each other. But look, man, I like everybody I hit up. Like I like Spider Loke, and it was a great interview. Tomorrow we got Illa G. Next week, I think Tuesday.
I
don't know if it's Tuesday. I don't even know the days anymore,
Tuesday.
Man. I know we got Sky Zoo next week. Sky Zoo's from Brooklyn. Came out like around. Yeah, that might be Wednesday. I don't know if we got something on Tuesday, man. I thought we did.
I think that's Buck.
Yeah, Buck from Psychodrama is Tuesday, man. And that show, everybody's showing me love for that, man. People really want to hear that shit. And then on Wednesday, Sky Zoo from Brooklyn. But there's a couple more that might be coming, man. I'm just, like a couple more people said that they're down. I'm just waiting on a confirmation for the date.
Waiting on
but, yes. Fucking
I know
stay,
Max
stay
got
tuned,
some lines
though,
out there. I got some lines out there. It's good that, this shit will never end, you know.
Yeah, man, and all these guests that I got, man, like, they have a lot of history. I mean, like, tonight I had a bunch of shit. Like, I wrote a bunch of shit down, like, I don't want to talk about this, this, and this. And we didn't even get the most of them. You know what I mean? Just because Logue was a great interview, the shit went in all different directions, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and those are the interviews I like the most where this shit's more like a conversation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't expect to have a conversation about people with the tight-ass pants sagging their pants and shit. You know what I mean? I didn't have that shit rolled down.
Cash crack germs on his car seat.
Yeah.
How can I clip that, though? I was going to clip that whole part. And then I'm thinking, wait, I got to put dude's ashes on this fucking photo. I ain't doing that. You know what I mean?
I'll just
skip that clip. You have to hear that in the archive, folks. You know what I'm saying?
But yeah, man, like, I don't know, man. I've just been trying to, there's a lot of ground, as much ground as we covered on this show, and as much ground as you and Matt covered long before I got here. There's still ground that needs covered. You know what
man.
I mean? That's just the way I think of it.
Stop.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, never like stop. Just keep letting everybody tell their story, man, because we're almost at 500. There's 500 more that I want to do, and I'm sure there's 500 more you guys want to do. You know
Absolutely.
What I'm saying? Like, there's 500 more people I want on this fucking show. You know what I'm saying?
I
want to
branch
so,
out from hip-hop.
Some of them,
too. I want to have more wrestlers. I want to have some porn
stars. I got Ric Flair's number.
You got Ric Flair?
I got Ric Flair's number. I got his number.
Jesus Christ, I just saw him on that 30 for 30. If you haven't checked that out, I told you about it. Go check out the ESPN Ric Flair 30 for 30. He banged 10,000 chicks, he said, and he had to jerk off twice a day. And this guy was a walking boner. You know what I'm saying?
Yo,
his
did he
leg
talk
drop
about getting struck by lightning
right
and shit?
Pussy.
Did he talk about getting struck by lightning?
No, he didn't talk about getting struck by lightning.
Yeah.
But
man, look his story up, man. He was like
and fucking.
He got struck by lightning before.
Yeah, we got the light here.
There's some other shit, like it might even be the lightning situation where I don't know,
lightning.
Like the dude with him died, like the dude that he was with died, or somebody in the area died or something. Like I've seen a lot of interviews with him. He was on ESPN Radio a while back on the Dan Lebatard show, and they talked about all kinds of shit, and that motherfucker has been through a lot.
And one thing it does show in the documentary is that everybody wanted to be that guy. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. You know, they even have Snoop Dogg in there talking about it. You know, I mean, come on, that dude had women. He was riding around in planes. I mean, motherfucker was a legend. I was never that big into wrestling. I was like every other kid. But I always liked that guy because he was a cocky, arrogant motherfucker. And he was really like that in real life, man. He was
mm-hmm.
I mean, all he did, he'd go into a bar and he'd buy the whole fucking bar. You know,
well,
everybody had
parts
to
of that.
Get
I
up
kept
the next
falling
morning.
I kept falling asleep when I was trying to watch it, man. I fell asleep twice now trying to watch it. So I seen some of it, and I saw the part where he was saying his real name and shit, and he's like, man, that's just some guy to me now. Like, I'm Ric Flair, motherfucker. You know what I mean? Like, that's my name now. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's like,
his real name's Richard Flair. It's just spelled differently. And
I thought his
yeah,
name
that,
was something else. I thought it was something that sounded like Ric Flair.
It's Richard Flair. It's like F-L-E-I-H-R some shit. I don't know.
It's Richard Morgan Flair, F-L-I-E-H-R. Yeah, okay.
He was
okay,
one of my
yeah.
favorite wrestlers. I always liked the Junkyard Dog. That guy was great. George the Animal Steel.
Oh,
remember that fucker? Eating turnbuckles
fuck
and
yeah,
shit.
Man.
With his green yeah. tongue.
See, I was a wrestling head for a while, man, back in the day. My grandma loved wrestling. And I used to watch old-ass tapes of, like, Bruno Sammartino and shit. Because he's from Pittsburgh and shit. I used to watch shit like that all the time, man.
Bruno Sammartino. Yeah, man. I remember that guy, too. All them guys, man. The Von
mm-hmm.
Erichs. You know, those were...
Yeah,
that was
like him and, like, Larry Zbysko.
Larry Zbysko.
Karate
guy or something. Yeah, and back then, though, when we were younger, we didn't know it was 100% fake. You know what I mean? There was like a mystique about it.
Yeah.
Like you'd see Flair chop Sting or something. You'd hear that shit. You know, but now, once you know it's fake, it's like Santa Claus. It ain't fun no more. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, ah, man, this shit's fake. Fuck that. But it's still better than that gay MMA shit where them dudes be putting their dicks and other dudes' butt cracks on the floor trying to choke them. So with some David Carradine style
mm-hmm.
gay sex shit. Fuck that
yeah,
shit.
MMA would be so much better if the ground game shit didn't exist. If it was just two dudes
fair.
On their feet, hands and feet would be cool. But, like, once you're on the ground, all that just fucking humping
so
each other bullshit, man, that shit ain't fun
think
to watch,
it.
You know.
Think about it, though. Think about it, Pat. You're beating the shit out of me for 5-10 minutes. You know what I'm saying? You're winning on all the judges' scorecards. Then out of nowhere, I get you in a choke and you're done. The match is over in 10 seconds. You know, that's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, man. Yeah, you get up and kick and punch and fight and elbow and knee, you know. But, yeah, man, another thing, we need to do that UGS sports show.
you know, eventually, man. I think that'll be real fun to do, too. Because I know Mac, I know yourself, you guys are real big sports fans.
Yo, believe it or not,
I am on a smaller level.
Look, man, believe it or not,
sports fan. You just don't fuck with
everybody. I might actually know more about sports than I do about hip hop. Believe it or not.
Yeah.
Well, you just wear around it. You probably know about the same amount. You know. Pretty much, you know all the shit that you when you first started liking sports, same way when you first started liking music and shit. You know what I'm saying? It's just called growing and living. Like, we're going
to
remember more stuff than
you know. Sports was always easier to follow for me. Like, when I was in prison and shit, sports was always easier to follow. You know what I'm saying? Because it's everywhere. And,
yeah, that's what everybody does.
There's shit in hip-hop I missed. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but everybody
I had all the magazines.
That's what I'm saying, though. Yeah, you could have all the magazines, and you might remember the album cover, but you never got a chance to listen to the album. But you might see one of these albums.
Still
like,
playing
okay,
catch
I remember. Up. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's the beauty of this shit. You know
yeah, like
that's,
a lot of times people say, yo, you remember this joint? And they'll post something. I'll be like, damn, I remember reading
sport,
about this.
Sport,
and then I'll go and listen to it.
Because some people only going to fuck with who team they like. You know what I'm saying? But see, we came up in a time where when it came to sports, yeah, we liked our teams. I didn't become a devout sports fan till I got older and it was other idiot motherfuckers always talking shit about my teams. That's how I started liking all Chicago teams all the way. Because at one point, I used to like the Cubs and the Sox. But when I got older, you got to pick a side when it come to both of them playing each other. So it's like, shit, with sports, when we was kids, we just liked the players. Everybody liked Ken Griffey. Everybody liked Bo Jackson. Everybody liked Michael Jordan. If you was into hockey, everybody liked Wayne Gretzky. That don't mean you like the teams that they played for, but you like those people. You know what I'm saying? But then when I got older, it was other superstars in the league that I liked. But fuck them. Like, Pujols, one of the best baseball players I ever seen. But fuck him. Because he played for the Cardinals. And it was like, but if I was a kid growing up, I wouldn't have cared what team he played for because we was looking at this.
Yeah, I didn't care about that.
And I felt the same way with hip hop. I never choose a side with hip hop. That's the beauty of it. That don't mean you got to like everybody's shit. But when we was coming up, I might not have listened to Mobb Deep a whole lot when they first came out because I was fucking with Pac, but I still listened to their music because they still had cuts. But I might not go buy their whole fucking album, you know what I'm saying, because I wasn't a super fan of them like that. But I wouldn't buy a Silk the Shaka album.
But
that
you
don't
wanted
mean
to
Silk
check
the
out
Shaka
the music
was
nonetheless. You want to at least
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I was a fan of
their
shit. Yeah, you had. Yeah. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? I want to hear who they had featured on there, what they had. You know, I was a fan of No Limit, so I would buy anything they put out. Same way with Death Row, same way with Rap-A-Lot. Anything they would put out, and I could get my hands on it. And they don't get enough credit either, but Suave House was the same way. Anything Suave House came out with, I was trying to get. Same way with 3-6 Mafia. And then when they had the Prophet Entertainment, before they was Hypnotized Minds and all that, anything Prophet put out, we wanted to get it because you knew what it sounded like before, so you was looking forward to the next shit.
You knew, yeah. Like, and they put, you know what I'm saying, so much into the albums. I mean, like, when Gangsta Black came out, to me, that was just like a 3-6 Mafia album with just, like, one dude rapping
exactly.
The majority of it.
Yep.
Same thing with the Skinny Pimp album. You know, even though it was Gangsta Black,
it was
his style of rap and his flow, it still had Mafia
but
beats.
But they had all them cuts. And they same way with Master P. Master P did the same shit. It might be a Mr. Serve on album, but he got features from everybody that's about to come out with something or already have something. So it's like, damn, you might get out of a 20 track album, you might actually get only 8 songs that's actually just that person by themselves.
Yeah.
And that's how
I
felt with because then you can make, that's how they made groups out of collaborations. P made groups out of collaborations. Like, every time these three dudes get on a song together, they sound good. Let's make a group out of it. And that's a whole new album. That's a whole nother check. And 3-6 Mafia don't get enough credit. They did the same shit. You know what I'm saying? They did the same shit. Paul and them had plenty of motherfuckers. They had damn near the whole town at one point in time.
Man, there's a song out right now that it sounds like Slob on My Knob.
Yeah, they sampled that shit. Yeah, it's a Slob on the Knob song. All I forgot who it is. I seen the motherfucker on TRL the other day.
It's one of them ASAP
moves. With skinny jeans on.
It's one of them ASAP moves.
Skinny jeans on
too. ASAP Rocky. It's like ASAP
Burger.
It blew up
the original song, though. I remember it was like
number
one on iTunes for a while.
On the remix, they got Juicy J on that shit. So Juicy J had parts in that. I don't blame him.
Yeah, I remember when
that one dude came out,
ASAP Rocky came out. I remember he's from Harlem. And his first song out was that Peso joint. That joint was pretty good. I thought, you know, I'd fuck with the dude. But he was rapping about
dresses,
Juicy J. Oh, yeah. Once I heard more, I was quick to deny that shit. But he was rapping about No Limit and 3-6 Mafia and shit. Like, it was weird seeing a Harlem cat like that, like, show love to the South.
Yeah,
because
they grew up on that shit, man.
Yeah, that was the same time, man. Fred loves the South.
Ooh, Prez, I don't know if you've seen this. This is the end. We got to get tickets, man. Chicago will host the 2020 NBA All-Star Game. We got to go, Prez. We got to go. We got to be in town for this
2020 All-Star Game in Chicago. Wow. That's going to be huge.
We got to be on that. Look, they ain't had an All-Star Game there since 1988. We was 10 when Jordan won the slam dunk. I think that was the last slam dunk contest Jordan played in.
And him and Wilkins were just crazy with it back then.
I'm going to get on this shit. We got to go. For real. Katie can come too. We got to be. Even if we don't go to the game, we got to be there for the festivities that whole weekend.
I really wish I was in Chicago when the Cubs won the World Series because, man, there was 5 million people. I mean, it was like the seventh or sixth largest gathering in human history. You know what I'm saying? And I regret that I wasn't up there for that because that would have been amazing. But, you know, there's always 2018. You know, we'll see what happens next year. You know.
Hell yeah. But y'all, I got to run, man. I lost track of time, man. I got to make this move. I'm going to get up with y'all, Prez. I gotta run real quick.
It'd be easy, brother.
All right, bro. All right, y'all. Love y'all, bro. UGS for life.
Secure yourself, my brother. UGS for life, fam. Underground Saturday night, number 76 this Saturday. Make sure to tune in. Check out Mac J and the lovely Velvet Rose. You know what I'm saying? Sunday, we got Church Reality. I think it's 193. And, man, Sinister Styles Underground Mix. You know what I'm saying? By DJ Lord Sinister, Volume 10, that's out. We got the European Underground Circle with DJ and Jack in the Box. They're about to drop number 3 probably tomorrow. We got Illogy tomorrow night. We got, man, the Hip Hop Roundtable Monday, number 32, something like that.
31, and check it out. And check this out. Episode 31 of the Hip Hop Roundtable. You're for that. As soon as we go on air, you're not my co-host. You're not Prez from UGS for Life. You're not Prez from UGS for Life. You're not Prez from the Murder Mass Music Show or none of that. You're Scott Beta.
Before all that,
You're Prez Beta. Represent Murder Dog Magazine, man. We're gonna pay homage to Murder Dog Magazine. We're gonna.
Oh, man, phenomenal magazine, 20-year run.
Here's what me and you got to do before the show, though, Prez. We got to pick, I'm going to pick 2 of my favorite covers, and you got to pick 3 of your favorite covers, and that's how we'll pick the tracks. So, like, say I pick Saigon and Soulja Slim, just so you know, I'm picking Saigon and Soulja Slim. I'll pick
the tracks from when they were on that album, or that cover. I got you.
Yeah, so I got to go back in my Saigon archives and think about what he had out at that time. But, yeah, that's what we'll do. And then you pick, you know, your 3 covers. But we're going to talk about more than just, you know, those 5 covers. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to ask you all kinds of shit.
Man, I tell you what, 20 years worth of that magazine. You know, I came into it 5 years into it, so I was there for 15 years and – Man, it was good times, man. I'm not going to say it wasn't
bad
times.
Yeah, man, look, here's what I want to do. The roundtable ended up being, like, I didn't even really know what we were going to turn it into when we first made it. That's why, like, me and you both said, like, man, let's not handcuff it to one idea. Let's just see what it becomes. And it became, like, something that we just kind of show love to everybody because some people are dead, some people we can't get a hold of, so we can't always have them on the show. So it's just showing love to people. Like I did Nas last week. I doubt I'm ever going to get Nas. I'm going to try, but you know how he is, but you know some of these dudes are. But I think once a year, we got to show love to Murder Dog. We got to show love to Street Masters. You know what I'm saying? I think because those
play a big part
into what this show is. You know what I mean? So I think at least once a year, we'll reach back and talk about that because, I mean, that those days of your life help form what we're doing right now. So I think we gotta always have something fresh in the archives for those. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's so. Plus, a lot of people we know, man, they definitely remember Murder Dog and, you know, Jason McKibben, of course, Sin. You know, he archives a lot of it. Check out the Murder Dog Facebook Murder Dog Archives page. Black Dog also, you know, he's still got a Murder Dog page. It's kind of inactive right now, but that's because he's, I think he's touring right now, but. But, yeah, man, the magazines, man, you know, and I'm glad you brought up Street Masters, too, because that magazine, it had a 5-year run, and it was on its way to being that fucking magazine. I mean, like I literally said, we won Magazine Year in 2007, but sadly, in 2008, the magazine was defunct. So you think we went from going to our highest pinnacle and about to get major distribution to nothing. It was because the owner made some bad business moves. I didn't have nothing to do with it because I wasn't the owner of the magazine. So, you know, but nonetheless, while it was around, people loved it, especially in Memphis because that's where it's from. You know, people loved it. Like if you ask your average Memphis rapper that's been around, you know what I'm saying, man, what do you think of Street Masters? I'm sure they remember that magazine. And rare as hell, man. Murder Dog is rare because, you know, it wasn't distributed everywhere because of the content, obviously, but Street Masters is 10 times rare. Like, if Murder Dog would press up 50,000 copies, Street Masters might only press up 5 or 10,000. So, if you find any of those, man, those are really, really fucking rare. But shout out to those who still support the, you know, those platforms.
Yo, I just found something, Chris. Yo, Chris, yeah, I just found something. I don't know if you even know this exists, but it's from September 8th of this year, so just 2 months ago. I think it's called Pitchfork.com. They just wrote a big-ass article on Black Dog Bone.
Pitchfork did a Murder Dog interview?
The headline says, "The Surreal Life of Black Dog Bone, Founder of the Legendary Rap Magazine Murder Dog."
Yeah, I know he did one for Red Bull Academy. And shout out to him for that because he mentioned me and the homie Matt Sadala in there. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't know he did one. Yeah, The Real Life of Black Dog, September 8th. Yeah, look at him. You see the picture of him in there, right? That dude is, that's the owner of Murder Dog Magazine right there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
his life
crazy. You got to read the article.
His life is a movie, man. If you read about him, his stage name is called Coffin Boy. And you know how he got that name? There used to be a guy that, this is in Sri Lanka. You know, for those who don't know where the fuck that's at, it's like a little island off the coast of India. And there was a guy that, you know, they would make coffins, you know what I'm saying, right there in the streets. And, like, he would ditch school and just go sleep in the coffin. You know, see, this guy was crazy. You know what I'm saying? But he, and he's an actual shaman, too, man. I'm telling you, read that article, man. If he goes into full detail about, you know, his roots, man, it's an amazing story. And they need to do
it's
something.
It's a long ass life. Yeah, man,
yeah.
it's a long ass story.
He was in
like,
two.
Like, they're just putting him on now, yeah.
Yeah, he was in two. I'm looking at it right now, too. They did a real good job. He was in two punk rock bands in the early 80s, traveled all over the place. You know what I'm saying? Real good people, man.
And he, like I said, he had a 20-year run, but sadly what happened, you know, the internet kind of fused out. It made no sense to print, right? It cost, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars to print up the magazine, and everybody's getting their media online. So he tried to do the online thing for a few years. If you go back, you know, he had all his issues online as well. And he said, fuck it, man. I had a 20-year run. It's time to move on. So,
You know what's dope? You know what's cool, though? The article ends by saying, I'm not a, it's a quote from Black Dog Bone. I've been an outsider forever. He says, I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I'm not into capitalism or communism, not into any fucking religions, never supported it. I want to be clear. I'm beyond civilization. That's one of the hardest quotes I ever heard, man.
Yeah, this dude lives as a fucking junk, man. I'm telling you, at the fucking height of Murder Dog success, this motherfucker says, you know what, I'm going to the jungles of Africa. I'm going back home to Sri Lanka. He lived there, man, in the fucking wild. You know, and he actually became like a shaman. I mean, this dude, I've had conversations. I mean, this is crazy for those of you listening. I've had conversations with him where he was telling me about putting spells on people and all kinds of shit. You know what I'm saying? This dude is definitely, I'll put it to you this way, he's intertwined with the earth. You know, he don't eat meat. He goes outside everywhere. Like, one of his favorite places to go is those big redwood forests. You know what I'm saying? California, where those trees are like 4,000 years old. He goes to places like that, man, into the jungle, and that's where he finds his peace. You know, and he was never technical. That's why, you know, Murder Dog was slow to get online the way it should have been. You know, because he was more old school with it, man.
I'd love to have him on the show, man. That'd be so dope.
Man, he's supposed to. Last time I talked to him, man, he asked me, he's like, when are you going to have me on your show? I said, man, anytime you want, you just got to sit down in one place long enough. You know what I'm saying? Quit disappearing, whether he's going on tour or going somewhere else. Or, you know, but, yeah, man, it's a good dude right there. And the cool thing about Eric, I'll just tell you this real quick before we go. He gave me a shot, man, when he didn't have to. He gave me a shot. I was a fan of the magazine. I called up, bugged the hell out of him. I actually was talking to his wife or his girlfriend at the time, which was Mary Downs. She was she ran the magazine the whole time from the start to finish with him. And, you know, I'd call up there, and, you know, me and her would chop it up, and one day she's like, hey, do you want to talk to Black Dog? He wants to ask you a question. And I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, I knew exactly who Black Dog was because his name was all throughout the magazine. You know, I knew that was the publisher. Yeah. Well, he gets on the phone with this thick-ass, sounding like an Indian accent, man. And he's like, do you want to sell Murder Dog? And I'm like, sell Murder Dog? What do you mean? He's like, yeah, sell the magazine. I'm like, okay. He's like, okay, give me your address. I'll send you something. And I did, and a couple weeks later, man, a semi-truck pulls out in front of the house, and the guy jumps out. I'm thinking somebody's broke down, you know, and the guy opens up the back, and it was a shipping company. He just starts pulling out these big-ass boxes of, like, 50 magazines in each box, and he had, like, 10 of them or whatever. And I'm like, oh, man, I didn't have a dolly. I had to load them all up and take them into my garage. And I called him up. I'm like, man, I didn't know you was going to send me this many of these fucking things. I was like, well, do you want money for these? I mean, what's the deal? He's like, no, man, just pass them out and sell them, make money. He didn't even care. He's like, hey, man, just go make you some money. And that's what I did. I gave away probably half of them. And then the other ones I would leave in strategic places. You know what I'm saying, where people would see him, like if I went to a barbershop or I went, you know, somewhere, you know, a music store, I might leave a few there. And then other times, man, I make good money out of them. I go to the fucking bus stop and just sell them to motherfuckers, you know. And, yeah, man, for a long time I was selling Murder Dog. But that fool sent semi-trucks to my house with the shit. You know, I wish I kept
that's cool
them.
That's cool as hell, though.
I wish I would have kept some of them, though, because they're worth a lot of money, man. Some of those magazines, I've seen the Biggie Smalls issue sell for as high as like $300. There's a See Murder issue where it, right on the front cover says True Motherfucker. That sells for a lot too. You know?
I'm glad you know that. Like the Soldier Slim ones. Oh, motherfucker. The Soldier Slim ones. You know what I mean? Those sell for a lot. You ain't getting them no more for, what they used to cost. Because I know I looked up just the Saigon one, and that joint was like $15. But, like, some of them go for hundreds, man. Man, my girlfriend's going to be mad as hell, man. I just dropped the fucking keys in between the seats.
Oh, that ain't good.
And I can't get them out.
Yeah, I'm looking at this article, man. And they said in the mid-2000s, you know what I'm saying, that's when they were at the biggest. They were moving 200,000 an issue, you know what I'm saying? And that was huge. That was around the time when he was actually, because for a while all I was doing was reviews, and he kind of eased me into interviews because I wasn't a journalist, you know. But at that time, man, he started giving me interviews with The Game, with 50, Snoop Dogg, all these guys, and I couldn't believe it, man. I'm like, I'm sitting here talking to Snoop and shit, you know what I'm saying? It's like, this shit was incredible. But with all that said, though, and I'm going to be real to the Murder Dog supporters out there, you know what I'm saying? I love my time at Murder Dog, and I'm not just saying this because this is our show now, but, man, my dream was to always interview DMC, you know what I'm saying? And we got to do that here, plus we got to interview DJ Yella, we got to interview fucking Chuck D. The list goes on and on. There's so many people we interviewed on this show that I never had the chance to interview on Murder Dog. Now, don't get me wrong, 50 was cool, T.I. was cool, Snoop was cool, but to me, that just doesn't compare to all the other shit we're doing here. I'm having so much fun now, you know what I'm saying, and what we're doing, you know. Back then was cool. I'll never forget it. I love it, but I think our archive is special, too. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to compare Murder Dog and us. I'm just, there's some good shit we got in our archive as well. Legendary shit, man, we better close up shop and get ready for tomorrow with Illa G. Where's he out in Brooklyn?
Yeah, he's from Brooklyn, man.
Oh.
Yeah, it's going to be a dope show, man.
Listen, one reader from Michigan offered some pretty typical praise. I burned my subscription to the source, and I pissed on the renewal forms. people really started hating the source in the other magazines. Like, they would have, like, where you could write, and Black Dog would print the letters, and every other letter was like, fuck the source, and, fuck this rapper, fuck that rapper. It was a good time, man. Definitely a good time. We gotta close up shop. Anything you want to say before we get out of here, brother? Pittsburgh, you there? We lost Pittsburgh, Pat. It is time to go. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you guys tomorrow, episode 460.